What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
It's a New Year's Eve, a Los Angeles Black father community member was shot and killed, murdered by an off-duty ICE agent. We are joined by Dr. Melina Abdullah. Look, I smile just by saying her name. Dr. Melina Abdullah, my sister warrior comrade, who also is a professor and the chair of Pan-African Studies at Cal State Los Angeles, as well as the co-founder of the Los Angeles chapter of Black Lives Matter and co-founder and director of Black Lives Matter Grassroots. Good morning, Dr. Abdullah.
Good morning, Sister Kat. This is our first conversation of the year.
And look what it's about. Do I get to see your face? Are you hiding from me on purpose? You
know, no, but I can do that. I don't look great, but hey.
You always look beautiful. Hey, queen. Hey, yo, look, not even on purpose. Look at the coffee cup I have.
Oh, Black women are divine. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
A gift from my sister, from another Mr. Dr. Abdullah, who does an annual event with Black Lives Matter Grassroots, honoring the divinity of Black women.
And you were honored our very first year.
I was, of course, at the top of the list.
Yes.
Sadly, that is not what we are here to talk about this morning. We're here to talk about Keith Porter. Who is he? Did you hear me, sis?
Yeah, I heard. Yes. So Keith Porter was a 43-year-old father of two. He was living in Northridge, originally from Compton. His family members are members of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles.
Oh.
And so we found out what happened to Brother Keith immediately. On New Year's Eve, I kept wondering why my phone was going off. His cousin is one of my closest folks. She's actually a mentor to my daughter. She's a school counselor. And she was calling because Keith, her cousin, was doing what many Black folks do on New Year's, many folks do on New Year's, which is just before the midnight, go outside and shoot their guns in the air. And, you know, that may not be something that's the greatest thing or the safest thing to do, but it's a regular thing that's done. It is not a threat to anybody, right? It's not intentionally used to harm anybody. It's just something that has been done for centuries. I don't remember a time in my lifetime when we didn't know people go outside and shoot their guns in the air for New Year's. So Keith did what a lot of folks do. And in the apartment complex that he was living in, an ICE agent apparently also lived in that apartment complex. And we don't know what the whole interaction was. We do know he came out. This is according to the ICE agent, the off-duty ICE agent's own account, that he went out, saw Keith, went back in, put himself, dressed himself in all of his ICE gear, put on tactical gear, went back out with his ICE-issued firearm and murdered Keith in cold blood right there in front of his apartment. And nothing's happened to the murderer. LAPD, in fact, hailed him as a quote-unquote hero. And we know that this is cold-blooded murder. So you'll remember, Sister Kat, Black Lives Matter Grassroots put out a statement very early on about the threat that ICE poses to even African Americans. And we really, really hate the way that this has been proven true.
Do you know anything yet, Dr. Abdullah, about the legality of what this off-duty ICE agent did? Meaning, is it legal? And I know that's a federal agency, but is it legal for you to be off duty, decide you're going to put yourself on duty, go suit up and boot up, and then engage in activities that you would engage in, you know, during your regular work shift? Have we gotten that far yet?
I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to say resoundingly no. No. You don't get to, I mean, it felt like, and the accounts are, and we've talked to neighbors, it felt like he thought he was playing a video game. That, you know, he was, it was a game to him, but it's not a game to us, right? These are real Black lives. We are not fictional people. You know, we posted about it and got a DM from, I don't know Keith's daughters, but got a DM from his oldest daughter who's supposed to be in her sophomore year of college. And, you know, just talking about that she's heartbroken at the loss of her dad. His coworkers came out for the vigil on Sunday night. And, you know, they talk about Keith ironically worked at Home Depot and is a longtime worker at Home Depot. Talked about Keith being the life of the store and he would give you the shirt off your back and demonstrated solidarity. All the coworkers who came were Latino, right? And they talked about Keith just as being humorous and loving and kind and willing to go an extra mile. He was thought of as a good worker and a good friend and a good neighbor. Neighbors in the building talked about how friendly he was. He moved there fairly recently. He moved there for love. His girlfriend was there and he moved out to Northridge to build a life with her, you know? And it's just a loss. It's a tragic loss, but it's also an outrage.
What are the demands from the family and Black Lives Matter grassroots?
That the off-duty ICE agent be named, be prosecuted, and be arrested. The off-duty ICE agent should be named, prosecuted, and arrested. And beyond that, we want to abolish ICE. We want, you know, they're a danger. And all police are a danger. One of the things that I say often is when we say abolish ICE, we have to remember ICE sits in a system of policing that enables ICE, right? It's not ICE alone. And we see this also. This murder is an example where LAPD is enabling this ICE agent to murder a Black man in his front doorway, right? But we want ICE abolished as a first step towards dismantling the system of policing that absolutely steals Black life. In Los Angeles, we've seen a 70% increase in police violence over the last year. And this is not even including what's happened at the hands of ICE.
And you're actually going to get a call to come back next week to talk about that, as well as your piece on Mayor Bass. He was, because he was off duty, this dude was actually a civilian. And just for my listeners to understand, I, as a civilian, if I hear something happening on my street, which I do all the time, I live in the hood happily. If I go inside and I get my firearm and I come outside with my firearm as a civilian, which is what this off duty ICE officer was, and I fire my firearm and I kill somebody, I will be held account to the law. We're dealing with that with the case right now where there was a brother, there's a street not but around the corner from me where people were breaking into cars and blah blah blah, and so this dude was sitting on his doorstep. He heard the commotion, he had his gun. The young man who fired at him, he fired back, killed the young man, and is facing charges right now. So if this was anybody else, right, if this was me, if this was you, if this was anybody else, We'd be sitting in jail, and we would have to fight to prove that we had a right to use deadly force to protect ourselves and or our neighbors and or our homes.
And he was at his home. So if he was afraid of Keith shooting his gun in the air to celebrate New Year's, he could have gone inside, right? He could have gone inside.
He could have called the police.
Right. And apparently he did. That's his account. His account is that he called LAPD. But before LAPD was even, you know, coming out, I don't even know if they would have responded to somebody shooting the gun in the air for New Year's. I don't know if they would have responded to that. He didn't wait for that. He goes back outside and, like you said, took it into his own hands to steal the life of this Black father. Also, it's really important to remember because, and again, I'm not an attorney, but I do, you know, we've been at this work a very long time, that there have been excuses. We had a follow-up community conversation on Monday with the district attorney to say, why have charges not been filed? And ironically, charges have not been filed against this ICE agent. And this terrible district attorney, Nathan Hochman, is attempting to dismiss charges at the same time against some cops who are actually on trial for the murder of another brother, Christopher DeAndre Mitchell. So we were attempting to hold the district attorney accountable. The district attorney tried to hide behind this idea, well, you know, he's federal. Well, we know that he was not acting in capacity in his ICE capacity. Right. And so they absolutely have there is an opportunity for, if they're not all in cahoots, for them to name, charge and prosecute, name, arrest and prosecute this agent who killed Keith Porter.
I want to talk to you, Melina, because I know I can, about the impact of the national tone and tenor on local policing. I can't imagine we didn't talk about this as this started to happen, right? We've got a president who has told cops that they should be able to do whatever they want to do, that has empowered ICE agents and the military to be on the streets terrorizing, stalking, targeting, disappearing civilians. Do you see what happened to Keith as something that I think all of us, you know, that do this work warn people about? That tone and tenor, that empowerment to utilize violence to push a conservative agenda to disappear, attack, target, stalk, minimalize, marginalize, disappear folks of color is going to, has resulted in more violence against our people.
Absolutely. So we know that Trump has said that police basically have carte blanche to do whatever they want to do. But also, the unleashing, and this is what Trump called it, unleashing, right? Unleashing law enforcement, the unleashing of ICE beyond law enforcement, because I think one of the reasons that we're specifically concerned about ICE is a lot of people who are signing up to be ICE agents are doing so because they want that kind of freedom, and I'm not saying that in a positive way, to do whatever they want, to play communities, to wrestle babies from their mother's arms, right? To be able to kill Black men in their doorways. And so we're seeing a co-signing and an unleashing, again, Trump's words, an unleashing of law enforcement, especially federal agents like ICE.
Dr. Melina Abdullah, ICE in Los Angeles hasn't been in the national headlines as much, right, since I think it was June.
Right.
Were unleashed. I was on vacation and my phone started ringing off the hook and I was like, oh, something must be happening because I'm not supposed to be getting calls right now. What is their presence like now? What has the impact on community been? Are there acts of violence, do you suppose, or do you know about by these folks that go unreported in addition to the kidnapping and disappearance of citizens?
Yeah, I mean, basically it is...
Community members, not citizens. I want to retract the word community.
Right. It is a... this is a free-for-all, what's happening here. Or free-for-them, what's happening here. They can do whatever they want. And again, I want to situate ICE in the larger context of policing, because what's happened where it's the wild, wild west, right? Where ICE can do whatever they want. It also is enabling the sheriffs, LAPD, smaller law enforcement units to do whatever they want. So it's having a snowball effect throughout law enforcement, and the only protections that community members have, and you know how I am, I want to make sure that we also think about what opportunities there are on our side. The only thing that we see happening where we have protection is that we recognize the only protections we have is each other. So you have these community safety teams. I was grateful to be in community with Union Del Barrio a couple days ago. They did trainings for Black community, because we got to be very clear that the ICE agents and the ICE presence, again, is targeting Black folks. One of my sisters from Haitian Bridge Alliance will say that the most targeted group, and the numbers meet this out, are actually Haitian migrants who've been targeted by ICE. So there's the targeting of Black migrants, but also, you know, African Americans are not exempt from it. And so what we've seen is people step up, community step up and say that we keep us safe, which is something that you and I have been saying for a long, long time. We keep us safe. And so if there's a bright spot, there's two of them that I see. One is community remembering that we have to keep us safe. We have to organize ourselves. We have to have community safety teams. Two, the solidarity between Black and Brown communities is deepening in ways that I haven't ever seen in my lifetime. And it's really, really powerful to see Black folks be willing to put our bodies on the line for Brown folks who are, you know, numerically the greatest number that are being targeted by ICE here, especially in Southern California, but also that be reciprocated, which had been kind of one of the internal conversations that we've had about undoing anti-Blackness in Brown communities. And you're starting to see that work through the solidarity work. And so I'm grateful for that. But it has to be the people versus what would Fred Hampton say, you're either the people or the pig. And it has to be the people versus the pig. And that's what you're seeing happen here.
Dr. Melina Abdullah, it's always such a joy to get to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Sister Kat. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.